Lainey, we've just had a small break again, and we were drawing back to the AGHS. You were very involved in the adventures at Montague Island.
Yes, I was, and it was the most exciting project, and it really all came out of Colleen Morris's excellent report on the garden at Montague Island, and the vibrant, vigorous committee in Canberra, who were always on for any project that came anywhere near them. And if it wasn't recording a garden, it was going on an excursion, it was visiting somewhere that no one had ever heard of. And the committee of the Garden History Society in Canberra has been, and I was talking about this earlier, has always had a wonderful collection of people. It's always been evenly balanced, men and women, and people who were doers, not people who sat and went to the meetings and went home again and didn't think about it for another month. The activities were many, and the participation by committee was very, very high, and the activities were all so good. And
Are there any that stand out for you?
No, because they're all standouts. But certainly Montague Island is one that does stand out.
Did you commission Colleen?
The Garden History Society did.
Did you know of her work beforehand?
Yes, I'd known about her for a long time. And she's remarkable. And certainly in her time as a chair of the Garden History Society, she was outstanding.
Indeed. Mm.
And so,
what about the logistics of getting to Montague?
Well, I shall just tell you all about that. We had, at one of the committee meetings, the decision had been taken and money had been found to do restoration work at the garden on Montague, the old kitchen garden on Montague Island. And so, at one of the committee meetings, Sue Byrne was chair, and said, well, anyone want to go? Anyone like to go to Montague Island? It'll be a lot of work, and it could be cold, and it's a bit scary getting there. If you're liable to be seasick, don't even think about it. And so a small group, I hope I get this right and don't forget anyone. There was myself and Sue Byrne and Judy Pierce and Nancy Clark, and did Max Burke come on that first one? I can't remember whether he was on both of them, but certainly, and then Anne Charles from Nimitabell, she came along because she was just keen to come, because I was asked if there was anyone else I thought would be good, and she happens to be an extremely good vegetable gardener, and so I thought she'd be a real asset. She's also a real worker and strong. And so we decided on going, and all of this was arranged with Sue. Sue was in touch with Cass Bendixson, who was the ranger for NPWS, and a remarkable young woman, very, very, very committed to education. And so, and very committed to Montague Island. She really wanted to see this happening because she thought it was such a great opportunity for engaging the local community and making something special to see on the island apart from just the wonderful lighthouse. And so it was all organised that we would spend two nights and do as much as we possibly could in that time. We'd take our own food, and so we met down there at the wharf at Naruma and got into a tiny little National Parks boat and thumped across and saw seals, and we saw excitement, and it became very rough as you're going across the breakwater. And Montague Island is the most magical place. The noise from the seagulls is just remarkable, and the wind is something else. And the lighthouse is somehow a lighthouse on an island is even more exciting than a lighthouse on a promontory. I don't know why. That's just
something quite romantic.
Quite romantic, yes. And the trees on the island just say it all. They're almost lying on the ground. The wind is so tremendous. And so we were lucky enough to stay in the beautifully restored lighthouse keeper's house. This is one area that National Parks does really well, is getting these houses to a state where they're comfortable, they're practical, they work, and I think they make some money out of them, and that's excellent. Anyway, we were able to stay there, and Cass had organised for the local nursery to have plants and things for us, and we were able to just go and we bought what was necessary. This was a case where compromise was absolutely inevitable and essential and perfectly okay, because we're talking about annuals, we're talking about plants, we're talking about school kids and food. And so it was just not possible to get the wonderful old varieties that one can get. But in this case, it was a job that needed to be done. It needed to have local support, so the local nursery to be involved was a good thing.
Who was going to look after the plants once you put them in?
Wait, there's more. The local community was very keen on this project, and a couple of the schools came and were involved in planting, and the ranger who lived on the island was very happy to water them, etc., etc. And so it was a case of clearing the site, digging over the beds, planting, weeding, tidying, and it was absolutely wonderful. It really was. We got a lot done, we had a lot of fun, and Cass was so enthusiastic, and the follow-up was good because people who visited the island were interested in the project. The local community was interested.
The local community on the island?
No, in Naruma. Mm. And it was very exciting. We went back for another go the next year, and then I think I wasn't part of another visit, but that was more not so much with the vegetable garden as the clearing of weeds, because horrid weeds had taken over the garden in a big way, and so they had a lot of working bees to pull out terrible creepers.
The society had, or NPWS?
Yes, it was the society. Yes.
Gosh.
And NPWS helping. It was such a very good collaborative arrangement. And one felt that one was doing something very worthwhile.
Have you been back since?
No, I haven't. And like so many of these things, it's dependent on who's the person on the ground. And Cass has moved on, and I don't know what's happening now. And again, there are all of these regulations now. It becomes more complicated to have children involved. If you've got volunteers like we were, we've all got to go through the working with children thing, and you know, all of that sort of stuff. And it just means that something that was simple is no longer simple. But to do it, at least the vegetable garden, the area has been, it's been cleared, the beds have been created. It would be very easy if the right person came along. That right person would say, oh, we've got to get this going again, and it would happen again.
And all the reports and documentation.
Everything,
are there.
The documentation's all there. And Colleen's wonderful report was there, and all the documentation of what was done by AGHS in those working bees, it's all there. And there are some great photos.
It strikes me over the term of the Garden History Society that there are these big adventures and big projects like Montague, and smaller projects as well, but really the society, if those were all gathered together from every branch across the nation, there'd be a huge effort that the society has put
in. Huge effort, and also tremendously valuable in so many ways.
For the future, it's not just for now.
Because just thinking of the ACT Monero branch, those booklets about the gardens are wonderful. They're the best little resources, and they will be for the future.
They began, I understand, after the first one was initiated, sometime after the conference. I think the first conference was 85 in Canberra. But then, and as we remarked, every one of those booklets has the garden, Mount Erlington Garden, St. Omer, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Garden, Early Ainslie Gardens. So there's that constant focus and reiteration of garden.
Mm. Mm.
Do you attend many events now in Canberra with your distance away in Nimitz?
I do. I try to. This year's been a bad year for me, but certainly, and I've got a couple of mates, and we tend to go to any events that we can, because they're so good.
And then in 2016, there was the conference that they put on, the Scientists in the Garden.
That was a great conference.
Were you involved in the preparation or just like me attending?
I was just attending. I was involved a bit. I was, you know, the way one is if you're on the committee. But no, I was not. I wasn't involved in the same way as those who were living in Canberra.
Yes, yes. Do you remember any of the speakers in particular? This is catching you on the hop, perhaps. There was that wonderful soil and grasses.
Yes, that was absolutely wonderful.
And the very genetic paper.
Oh, I love the genetic paper, because the Oliver Mayo, who gave that paper, is a very old friend of mine. I've known him since he was a schoolboy, and it was absolutely lovely to catch up with him again, and. I enjoyed his subtle humour about it all. Some other people thought it was absolutely crashingly boring, but I was fascinated by it.
But isn't that also part of the society's richness, that not everybody's on the same page all the time?
No, and that wonderful talk by Richard Sturziker about water.
Yes.
Astonishing.
So, do you regularly attend the conferences?
I do. I didn't go to New Zealand. It just wasn't possible this year.
I'm thinking, as you talked about Montague, I was thinking the New Zealand conference was the first offshore venture, but maybe Montague was the first offshore venture.
Maybe it was. But no, I love the conferences, because I've never been to a dud one. I loved going to Albany, and the whole adventure, of course, of going as far away, and I haven't been to Western Australia for a long time, so there was a lot of other things about going there. But I thought it was an excellent conference, and enjoyed it immensely.
Were you still on the NMC when the first New Zealand conference was proposed?
Yes, yeah.
And then Melbourne very quickly stepped in
to that. Yes, that's right, yes.
What do you think about the idea of the New Zealand conference?
Well, I gather, I'm sad I wasn't there. I think it's a splendid idea. I think it's a wonderful linking.
Not stretching our wings beyond potential?
I don't think so. No. I don't believe so. But I don't know what the outcome will be. I don't know how financially successful it's been. I just don't know that. But I've spoken to several of my friends went, and they really loved it, and I think they felt that a couple of them had not been to New Zealand before, and they really loved seeing the differences and the similarities in the gardens, and they enjoyed the speakers as well. So I think it was a good idea.
Good. The time is marching on, okay. Lainey, and we're here at the National Trust because you're going on to your next committee meeting, the Collections Committee. What does that involve, briefly?
Well, it's a very interesting committee, because it involves every aspect of the collections held by the National Trust at every property. And so it's a matter of focusing on what is is important at the time, whether it is the conservation of a particular piece of furniture at one of the houses, or it's something that has been offered as a gift, or it's something that needs to be deaccessioned because it's no longer needed or relevant. It might be dealing with a whole lot of outside machinery, and what about its conservation? Do you leave it there? Do you put it under a cover? Do you accept the fact that not everything can be preserved forever and you allow it to just gradually disintegrate? So every aspect of the care of each collection, and so it's very much my interest, because it's curatorial oversight, really. Mm. I'm also on the Somers committee, and I find the whole Somers is a very interesting house, and the garden in particular, and there's a lot of discussion about whether that rose garden should ever have been helicoptered in.
Which was an agreement with the AGHS.
It is, indeed. And so I find that very interesting. And one half of my brain says this is a total irrelevance. The other half of my brain says, why not? This is a collection of roses. It's now an amazing attraction for Somers, so it's good for the actual property. It's not damaging anything, and it's really along the lines of the borough charter in a way, in that tomorrow you could take it out and it would leave no... It's reversible. And so, although I consider myself a purist in a lot of ways, I'm very happy to bend the rules if I can see that it's not damaging anything else.
I think, given the constraints of time, that's a perfect note on which to end, and we can perhaps truly round out and finish the tailings at our next meeting. Thank you, Lainey.
Thank you, Roz.